On this episode of Still Loading,
Christmas time is here!
Welcome back, guys. I hope you enjoyed my beautiful rendition of the Charlie Brown Christmas song.
That was a chart topper right there.
It peaked everything. Our meters were in the red already.
Straight to the moon.
But so we're back, finally. It's been a long time. It's been a while.
It's been too long.
Yeah, it has been a while. But we took a break mainly because we were kind of getting tired of everything, and to record this we were recording an episode a week, which is fine, but like we don't it was hard for us to find time to get together, and when it was more of a chore than something fun. So now we're back, we're enjoying this, we're doing this for fun again,
and we're gonna be roommates soon.
Exactly. Well, I'll be moving in with Mr. Federico. Or
you got that right, you got my last name right.
No, I don't know if we should include that. I'll figure out some editing. I'll be moving in with Justin over here, so we can hopefully not podcast more frequently, but we won't get tired of it. It won't be a chore just trying to figure out how am I going to meet up with Justin this week, record a podcast, and maybe even record some of our Let's Play stuff.
My calendar. No.
Exactly. So, in any case, we're back in time for the Christmas season. Hopefully this will go up before Christmas. But we're going to post about... we're going to talk about Christmas memories, our gaming Christmas memories. What was your earliest Christmas memory? And we'd like to hear from you guys as well. What was the first thing you remember about, whether maybe it was a game, most likely a system, I would assume.
Mm-hmm.
But you never know, maybe you had a system already from like an older sibling. Something like that. For me, as I've said in previous podcasts, though, this is going to be hosted at a new spot, so those who haven't heard it before, my first console was an N64. I didn't get to grow up in the golden age of gaming with the NES and the Super Nintendo and the Genesis, and even, well, definitely not the Atari. I'm a youngin'. So, I grew up with the N64, and I got hooked on it. I remember I played it. I mean, I got it. I was at first really disappointed by it because I asked for a Sega Genesis because my neighbor had one. I'm like, this is the best thing ever. Like, I loved the games on the Genesis.
Well, Sega does what Nintendo can't. Come on, man.
Nintendo don't.
How I messed
would you,
it up.
How did you do that?
I'm going to leave now.
That was
horrible.
No, but it ended up being a very good Christmas present. I played the thing to death afterwards. But I just remember I got it. I was really bummed, like I said, that it wasn't a Genesis. But I ended up loving it. My first game for it was Donkey Kong 64. And it was a smart buy from my parents in retrospect, because it came with that RAM expansion pack, which was like stupid expensive otherwise.
Yeah, it was like $30 by itself, I
was
think.
It that much? I don't.
Maybe 20.
I don't remember. I mean, I don't. I have no idea.
It's a hot commodity now. I think you have to pay 30 or 40 for
an expansion really?
Pack. Yeah.
Holy crap. Well, we still have ours. I was really worried because my younger brother let one of his friends borrow our expansion pack the one time, and we got it back, but we still can't find like the little like lid that goes on top to cover the expansion pack, so it's exposed right now, which isn't bad. I consider it like a form of cooling. It doesn't overheat. I don't know, but
direct air cooling.
I remember I got Donkey Kong 64 and I couldn't understand, like, 3D controls were just so foreign to me, and even though I didn't grow up with all the classic systems, 2D games were the only ones I really played, so I didn't know any better. But, Donkey Kong 64 just threw me for a loop. I just could not wrap my head around the controls. So, I remember I was really bummed. I was like, why'd you get... I don't even know what... Donkey Kong? What is this? This isn't Mario. This isn't Sonic the Hedgehog. Why did you get me Sonic the Hedgehog? And, I mean, I was naive. I didn't understand that was a Sega brand at the time. So I remember the very the day after Christmas that year. I guess it was Christmas of 97. Maybe we got it when it came out in 96. I honest to God cannot remember what year we got the N64. In any case, we got it, and the next day we went to Blockbuster, back when that existed too. Oh. And I got Pokemon Snap. Snap crack. But I apologize for that joke. I'll file that one away. We played Pokemon Snap, and I loved that game.
That was such a great game.
Did you ever actually take the pictures that you took to get developed at Blockbuster?
Yes.
I never did.
I did once or twice, because I was like, this is amazing, but that was so short-lived, I remember. I remember doing it once, and we went back to do it a second time, and it was already gone from Blockbuster.
Really? I remember it was there forever in our hometown. Well, we had the same hometown.
Yeah,
but
come on, this is my hometown. Maybe it was around longer, and we just...
I feel like it was there for a while, and I never took advantage of it.
That thing was so cool. I actually have a binder full of Pokemon cards, and on the front are stickers I got from that, from the game, so I still have them.
No, it would be a good episode to do, talk about renting memories.
Yes.
Like, the one thing kids nowadays don't get is Blockbuster rentals. You can't rent games anymore.
Like, you could do Gamefly, but...
That's not the same thing. Like, to go to a store and be able to look at all the things, like, what... Because you... As a kid, you didn't really know to look at the back of the box or read descriptions. You judged a book by its cover. You took it right at face value.
Like, this game's gonna be amazing!
I remember I tried Rayman 2. That was actually not bad. I actually kind of enjoyed that. I remember that as a kid, it was so mysterious to me because it was just so different. Like, Now, as an adult, like, games don't have that sense of mystery to me because I understand the inner workings of it.
We know how to read now. And look at the back of the box.
We get. Apparently, I was illiterate as a child. I couldn't even read... I guess I could read Rayman, and that was about it. But no, in any case, back to the Christmas, what our main focus is on. I remember we went to Blockbuster the day after Christmas, and I would just play the N64... for, like, freaking hours. We got so many... I remember we would get other games for Christmas for that, like, what other... Probably Toy Story 2. I loved... That was a great game. I'm pretty sure that was a Christmas game for me. That game was a tough game. I beat it.
Yes.
I beat it, though.
I can't believe you have. There was one level I would always get stuck on, and I never owned it, so I never beat it.
All the bosses that you would fight, like, the mini-bosses in each level, there's a... like an ultimate win strategy. You literally just have to charge, like, Buzz has his charge up shot, and you charge it up, and you just shoot, like, you kind of literally run around in circles. So you, like, you charge at the boss, fire, and then turn around and just kind of spin or, like, slowly move away by going around in circles, steadily moving away from him, while charging the shot, doing that, and then charge him again. Just as soon as you let go of the charge shot, keep firing really, like, firing fast, and then you go back around. I wrecked every single one. I remember I got so good at it that, for about half the game, none of the bosses ever hit me.
Wow. That is some serious skill right there.
Yeah, I know. Oh, if only I could actually do that now. The controls, like... The thing that sucks about N64, though, and I didn't notice it as a kid, is that the controllers die so fast.
Oh, yeah.
And because that joystick is just a piece of crap.
Yep, and playing Mario Party was the immediate death of all controllers. Because they had those games where you had to put your palm on top of the joystick and rotate it as fast as you can. And they actually had a lawsuit that no one knew about because the internet wasn't really popular back then, that Nintendo, if you sent a formal complaint to them, they would actually send you a glove to put on when you're playing a Nintendo 64, because you would actually get, like joystick burn on your palms from, like, rotating the joystick so
much. I thought it would have been in, like a lawsuit, like, your controllers can't handle your own games type of deal.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I think part of it, too, they had to send out new controllers, but, yeah, no one knew about it because, like I said, the internet wasn't really that popular back then, so no one really knew about it.
It's freaking nuts. Another N64 Christmas memory was The World Is Not Enough.
Oh, yes.
Justin and I played that game to freaking death.
We
played that so much.
Was that... No, that was Nightfire where we played the Beatles along with
them. No, it was The World's Not Enough.
Oh, yes.
The World's Not... When I was younger, I always looked up to Justin, and I don't anymore. I don't care. I'm just kidding. Oh. But, so I always wanted to, like, kind of appease his sense of music, and back then it was all classic rock, so I'm like, I don't know what we have in it. Do you like the Beatles? He's like, yeah, I like the Beatles. So we would play the Beatles. We would always play on the all-explosive maps.
Yes.
But we would play right when the song Love Me Do was on. So you'd hear, love me do. There's a body flying across the screen.
It was a perfect match.
It was a match made in heaven. That's what it was. And I even remember, like, we would play against the bots, and we always called them Owlbots because that looked like an owl. Yeah. Now we know it's AI.
AI bots, like, because we can read.
Because we can read now. I like that.
There will still always be Owlbots in my heart.
Even on PS2, like, man, my school just did not teach me English well.
Slow how to be English.
We would play that, and I went back and I was trying playing again, like, not semi-recently, I would say within the last 5 years though, I was trying it, and I'm like, and I remember I used to be really good at sniping and The World's Not Enough, and I tried playing it again, and I can't do it. I don't know how I controlled that game. How did I know those, like, I got the controls down because, like, the C buttons were the strafe buttons, and that, like, really made, like, multiplayer, you got really good at multiplayer if you knew how to use the C buttons.
Oh, yes.
But even so, just that, I don't know how I did it. To this day, I don't know how I did it. It's weird, because, like, you think about, it's funny to see how far controls have progressed, and I don't even mean in just, like, sense, like, if they make sense or not, but, like, you can see, like, even the difference between PS2 and now, like, the controls are so much tighter and responsive now.
Absolutely.
PS2, yeah. I would go back and play some of the old games, I'm like, this doesn't feel right.
Yeah, like, you move to the left and you're all the way, like, doing a 180. It's like, how do I aim like this?
So, anyway, that's just, like, those were the only ones that really stood out to me from my 64 memories. I mean, PS2 would be my next one. We'll talk about that later. But, Justin, what are some of your Christmas memories?
Yes, the Nintendo 64 was a big one for me. That was the second system I got for Christmas. But it was cool the way my parents did it. They actually had me unwrap a game first, and they had my sister unwrap a controller at the same time. And we're like, I don't think our parents know that this doesn't work on the Sega Genesis. And my sister even went along with it. I think she knew. So even though she was unwrapping the controller, she's like, oh, these work on the Sega, right? And I'm like, no, they don't!
Like, how old are you?
I'm going to say probably around 10.
10-year-old Justin forms his first internet forum. These controllers! But only addresses it to his parents.
Yep.
Starts trolling them.
You do not know how these game systems work.
I am Leet.
You are noobs.
But with just the letters U and R. You and are. Noobs is spelled N-E-W-B.
But,
Z.
It was really cool because My dad worked for a company at the time that also worked for Motorola. So all the Christmas presents are unwrapped, you know, we're done. No more presents under the tree. He's like, oh, I think there's one more present that Motorola gave to us. He's like, why don't you open it? I'm like, okay, but this is for you. This is weird. And I unwrap it. It's the Nintendo 64.
Oh, that's
and
kinda awesome.
I lost my mind. I was like,
were you that Nintendo 64 kid?
Yep.
You see that video, right?
Yes, I have. I really wish someone was recording it, because we would be the original Nintendo 64 kid. And I wouldn't need to do this podcast right now.
You'd be internet famous now.
But I think the first game that I really remember playing for Christmas with that, like, whole system thing was Diddy Kong Racing. I loved that game. I would get so furious at it because I wanted to beat it. I wanted to, you know. But I would actually set my own goals. And, like, my sister got me a box of saltwater taffy, so I'd place it on the bed. Like, if you win this race, Justin, you get to have the saltwater taffy.
So why would you limit yourself? Any normal kid just be like, that's my... Oh, I lost. I need to cheer myself up. I came in second place. That's close enough to first. Here's a saltwater taffy.
No, I had to... I would pump myself up and be like, all right, that saltwater taffy is yours. When you're going to
pop, you are...
Yeah, the saltwater taffy, yeah.
Laffy taffy.
So I would just be like, all right, you're going to win this race. You're going to win that saltwater taffy, Justin.
That taffy, though.
But, yeah, because I remember before then, like, all my friends had the Nintendo 64 already. So I would play Super Mario with friends, Star Fox 64 with friends, things like that. And we would always take turns. But to have my own system and to play Diddy Kong Racing, like, on my own time... Like, it was just fabulous. And I would say, after that, my first system I ever got was the Sega Genesis. That wasn't quite as epic as I remember getting the Nintendo 64.
Cause, like, you're probably younger, too, so yeah, you didn't quite understand.
Yeah, I was younger, and, like, my parents just gave it to me as a gift. It wasn't, like, this whole, like, run-up to the Nintendo 64 as the last present.
Well, yeah, like, that was like, they you kind of made it epic for you.
Oh, yeah, it was... I like, couldn't have asked for a better Christmas that year. Like, it... Like, that will be my fondest memory, by far, of all the Christmases. But, yeah, as far as, like, my first gaming memory for Christmas, the Sega Genesis would take it. And I got it with the Columns game. And that was the only thing I was, like, bummed about because I was horrible at puzzle games at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And for those that you don't know, Columns was... It was almost like a mixture, I would say, of Tetris and Bejeweled, maybe.
That's good, because I actually, believe it or not, have never played it, so now I have an idea.
Yeah, so essentially you would just get, like, all these, like, there'd be colored gems, and they would fall from the top like Tetris, and your goal was to match, like, at least three or four of the same color, and then it would, they would disappear and the rest would fall down like columns. It was a fun puzzle game, but... it wasn't until I got Sonic the Hedgehog that I was like, yeah, this is a Sega Genesis. Like, it's not a Genesis without Sonic the Hedgehog.
No. So. I remember my first Genesis game, which I did, like I said, I didn't own a Genesis. I have one now because I got into collecting, but the first Genesis game I vividly remember playing, it's one of the two. I can't remember exactly which came first. It was either Power Rangers, like the movie, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie game. That was a great game. It might have been Sonic, but, like, I'm trying to think of something other than Sonic right now.
Yeah.
Tiny Toon Adventures Buster's Hidden Treasure.
Dude.
I loved the artwork. I loved the music, because the Tiny Toon theme is really catchy.
Yep.
On top of that, I really liked, there's a level in there where there was a bunch of tree elevators, mm-hmm. and that just, that captivated my imagination as a child. I want to go there. I want to be in a tree elevator and see, like, little windows in the wooden bark and everything. It was the coolest. My little mind, however old I was, just like, there could be an elevator in a tree.
What?
It's like almost pre-Miyazaki right there. I don't know. I could picture him using that in a movie. I don't think I've ever seen one where he used one. But in any case,
but he's used a cat bus. So.
He did use a cat bus. But, so, yeah, any other thing for your Genesis or N64?
The only other thing for the Nintendo 64, I got Donkey Kong Country, and,
You mean 64?
Okay. Yeah, Donkey Kong 64.
Okay.
Pokemon Snap, great. But I also, kind of, a hidden gem for me was Madden 2001.
I remember you talking about this.
My parents got me for the same Christmas I got the 64.
And, oh, wow, so this is, you got it kind of late then, in the early 2000s, like, yep. Right at the end of its life cycle.
Yep, exactly. So, yeah, so they got me mad in 2001, which I think came out in 2000. They're usually always a year ahead. But this game, like, I enjoy sports games, but this game was, it took it to a whole nother level, like, you could just play it, like, be serious about it, like, alright, you know, play the season, you know, build your franchise. But the thing that made this game amazing was the cheat cards. So every time, like, you almost had achievements. If you got, like, X amount of yards in a game, you'd get coins. And you spent the coins on a pack of cards. And the cards either contained player cards or cheat cards. And these cheat cards were amazing.
That's a
great idea. Yes,
yeah, I don't know why. Game. Like, I'm not saying they should repeat it exactly, but why don't they do more stuff like that? Like, yeah. Games used to have so much content, and exactly. Now it's DLC.
Yep, exactly. And like, it was just such a cool idea to have like a pack of cards, like you would get when you were collecting baseball cards or something, but in the game. And part of these cards were cheat cards, and they were hilarious. Just like, I'll just name off a couple. There's one called Frog Legs, where all the players would jump like 20 feet in the air. So you would go to block a field goal, and all of a sudden you just see the whole line just jump out 20
feet. Like a tidal wave of football players.
Oh my gosh. And there's one where, like, fumbleitis. So, like, the chances of fumbling were, like, 200 times greater. So there'd be plays where, like, you get it, you fumble it, the other team gets it, you tackle them, they fumble it, then you get it, you fumble it. And the play would be, like, a minute long of just people fumbling. And there's just so many good ones. Like, and you could put as many as you wanted in one game. So you could have people jumping 20 feet in the air, fumbling all the time, being able to kick 70-yard field goals or throwing down the field 100 yards like it was 10, or teleport of sidelines. Like,
so you just go.
Yeah, you just go to the sidelines.
You never teleport. Were out of bounds.
Yep, you just teleport it to the other
Dude,
side.
Imagine those games. It would be high-scoring games.
Yeah, oh my gosh. The games would end, like, I think there was a limit, like, 255. Because it, like, I think they just had it set to an 8-bit long integer. So it went up to 255.
You would incorporate programming into it.
But, But along with the cheat codes, they had, like, these hidden secret teams, and they had one called the Monsters, which would be, like, all the players' names would be, like, A. Frankenstein, or, like, some, like, all these obscure, like, B. Dracula, or something like that, and there was, like, a team called the Sugar Buzz, and their names were, like, all ingredients to cereal. So there'd be, like, cholesterol, sugar.
And they were the players' names or the...
Yep. They're player names, and, like, their stadium was a giant cereal bowl.
It'd been really funny if the other team's, like, players' names were, like, body parts. So, like, cholesterol, sacked heart. It'd be really good.
That'd be perfect. But, yeah, that... By far, the Nintendo 64 just took the cake on Christmas memories for me.
To kind of close off, like, our Christmas memories, you know, like, just thinking, I have one more, and I remember when we got our PS2. PS2, as everyone knows, came out in 2000. We didn't get ours until, I would say, 2002, 2003-ish, somewhere around there. And, it had to have been then, because I remember when the second Ratchet & Clank game came out, that was 2004, and my buddy Tristan and I were, like, so pumped for that, because we loved the first one. So, in any case, we got a PS2 for Christmas one year, but the way that my parents did it, it was kind of like what yours did it for the N64. Not quite as epic, mm-hmm. but it was something similar. So what we did was, I remember we were opening presents, and my little brother, Matt, he got a DVD. It was a VeggieTales Christmas DVD. And I was like, oh, that's cool, Matt. Didn't even pay any mind to it. And then my parents...
Behind the couch.
No, not even that. My parents were like, pay attention to what that was. Like, what are you talking about? They're like, what kind of a movie is that? They're like, I'm like, it's a VeggieTales movie. And they're like, no. What do you play it with? And they're like, I'm like, oh, it's a DVD. A DVD? I'm like, you didn't. And then they brought out this box. We open it up, and it's the PS2. We're like, because I remember I was begging for one. I was like, Mom, get a PS2. It's a DVD player as well. It's two in one. It's a twofer. Come on.
Now, did you think they got you the PS2, or did you think they just got a DVD player
instead? I think it was, like, a combination of both. I was hoping for the PS2, but I had a suspicion it was just a regular DVD player. But, no, it was the PS2.
Nice.
And I remember the first game we got for it, the reason I was even dying for was Medal of Honor Frontline. And I played the demo of that at my uncle's house, because he already had a PS2, and it was on a demo disc. We should do an episode on demo discs.
Dude, we could do, like, an hour-long demo
discs. I have, like, Xbox demo discs, there's so few of those that exist, but I have a couple of those. Well, there may be more than I know, but there's a couple of them that I have. In any case, and I remember playing Medal of Honor Frontline on my uncle's PS2, and I was just like, these graphics look real. This is like some Saving Private Ryan right here. And I was just, I'm, for those who don't know me, I'm a huge World War II, like, I don't want to say fan, that sounds horrible. I'm a fan of war, No, but, like, I'm fascinated by it. I love learning about World War II and that time period and that culture of that time period. Maybe not the racist part, but it, like, all the styles, the music I like, everything. So Medal of Honor games are, like, right up my alley. I loved that stuff. And the graphics were just so realistic looking. Like, I could not believe it. Now I look back on it, I'm like, how did I think these were realistic? But, you know, in comparison to, like, N64 and PS1, like, it was a huge step up. Yep. Like, a huge step up.
Oh, yeah.
And, so anyway, that was the first game I wanted to play. And I remember I sat down, I popped it in, and the first level of Medal of Honor Frontline is Omaha Beach on D-Day.
That's right.
And it's so weird, because, like, the Medal of Honor Allied Assault on the PC was a little bit more realistic in the fact, like, the boat you're on is crammed with soldiers. This one had 8. And I don't know if the PS2 just couldn't handle that many models on screen. I'm guessing, but I feel like there's so much else going on. Like, I don't understand why it couldn't. But maybe it was just the limitations of the hardware. Or it was an early PS2 game, so maybe they didn't understand how to use the hardware 100% just yet.
Right, yeah. Well, that's why all the sports games, you look at the crowds, and they're all, like, cardboard people.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to render all this, like,
well, it would be useless.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're not dealing with them.
Yep.
But you land on Omaha Beach after, like, your ship blows up, and, like, they do a little, like, in-game cinematic where it's not a full cinematic, but it makes you feel, it immerses you. And you're underwater, you see guys, like, trying to, like, reach for the surface to get some air, but one of them drowns. You see bullets, like, whizzing through the water. And you see, like, there are trails, and you get out, and all of a sudden, even has the sound effects like they did in Saving Private Ryan, where it's that underwater sound where you just hear all the stuff going on above, and you get out of the water, and your captain's like, "Get over here!" And oh my god, like, as, like, a little 13-year-old me was like, oh, "I'm a soldier. I'm gonna go shoot some Nazis." Oh man, so that PS2 memory specifically, like Medal of Honor Frontline, combined with that, was, like, the best thing ever. Because even though I loved the 64, I can honestly say I played so many hours of PS2 games. Like, between the Medal of Honor game, all the Medal of Honor games, the only one I have not beaten on the PlayStation 2 is Vanguard.
Oh, wow.
Which is, like, a really, it's alright. I think it's more, like, it came out at the tail end of the PS2 life cycle. Like, it was, like, 2007 or something like that. So it was a really, it was 7 years into the PS2 life cycle. No, no. It is weird though. PS2 just released their last two games this year.
Really?
It's two soccer games.
Wow.
Two soccer games so came out, like, for the PS2. It was a FIFA and, like, Pro Evolution Soccer, oh, I think. Man. PES.
Congratulations, soccer!
And that system has had games on it for 14 years.
I mean, the soccer games make sense though, because they appealed globally. Like, everyone loves soccer for the most part. Like, so.
Well, it's crazy because the PS2, even, we have to do a whole PS2 episode.
Oh my,
like,
gosh,
there's so much to talk about with that. But not to digress too far away from Christmas, I just think, like, the PS2, besides, we all know it has the largest library of any console. I'm pretty sure that's got to be a fact, right?
Yeah,
that's got to be true.
I would say so. I mean, we could be wrong, but...
But, like, I remember seeing articles, even, like, I'll say, like, 2 years ago, like, 2011, 2012-ish, they were saying, like, hey, if you don't have money for these new consoles and new games, there's still a lot of great stuff. You can get one generation back, and the graphics aren't too bad in comparison. Which, that's that's a bit of a stretch. That's more opinion. Yeah. It depends on the art style. Because you can play, like, the Sly Cooper games on the PS2, and they still look really good. Because they had the cell shading. Kind of like how Wind Waker still looks good.
Yep.
Because of the art style. The aesthetic was really solid.
Exactly.
The realistic-looking games, like Medal of Honor, and like Black, that was a good first-person shooter for the PS2. Well, Black still actually looks good, but they kind of compensated for the graphics by not allowing a jump command. You can't jump, which is I don't quite get that, because if you have a full 3D environment, how does jumping affect the rendering? You know,
maybe they just don't want to program it.
I don't know. They designed around it fine, but they do the same thing in Killzone, the original Killzone. You can't jump.
Really?
It's infuriating. I remember the first... I mean, I've barely played the original Killzone, because, like, by that time, I already had my PS3.
Right.
But, I remember playing it, and I'm like, why am I stopped? And there's, like, a can on the ground. I'm like, really? Really?
Yep.
I was like, this is ridiculous.
I could see why. I mean, like, you look at Ocarina of Time, and you could only jump... like, up and grab ledges and things like that. You just couldn't jump unless you were doing the sword.
You still
can't
really do that, can you?
Yeah.
Could you do it in... I didn't play Skyward Sword at all. Can you jump? Can you just jump, not, like, run to an edge and have him jump?
I think you can. Oh, man, it's been a while since I played, so I don't remember. But you think about, like, the collision detection that now you have to incorporate the Y-axis to... Like
it's just easier to hard code everything in the hard code the jumps in, so it's a it might have been just a time constraint thing because that might have been what it was. And though at the same time they designed all around the fact that you couldn't jump, so I don't know. Like, was that just like we don't want the player to jump? This is a design choice. Who knows?
Nothing more frustrating in a game than not being able to jump.
No, it's really funny. One of the biggest complaints, like, in MMOs, like Guild Wars, a lot of people don't play the original Guild Wars now because you can't jump in that. One of the biggest things, I think the reason why World of Warcraft became so popular because you can jump.
That
one mechanic just makes the game infinitely more fun because you feel more in control.
Exactly.
But, in any case, so, that was a bit of a recap, but a little bit of into our stories of Christmas memories, Christmas gaming memories.
Indeed.
And I think we kind of found our focus on this podcast where we like to talk about our personal experiences in games, because people all know about, you can look up any online information thing, what you can't do is find out individual experiences.
Yep.
And so we like to talk about our own personal memories of things. But we also like to hear about others, and also anything we say, corrections, enhancements, anything you say, just let us know. Like, don't be afraid to let us. We're not going to be, we're open. We're not going to think we're all high and mighty and crap. Like, we.
Yeah, don't be like me and say Sega does what Nintendo can instead of Nintendo don't. Because I know my commercials. I know my 90s commercials.
You can't read. We couldn't read back then.
This is true.
But, so that was our first kind of episode back. We will be hoping to do more of these. And we're also going to start doing more mini episodes. Instead of releasing an hour-long-ish podcast each week, we're going to be doing about like a long podcast one week, and then like maybe a 10 to 20 minute one the following.
Little filler, little nibbler.
Exactly. That's what we're going to call it. Still loading nibbles. No, like, not. Wait. Not still loading pocket, because that's already. I mean,
still loading pocket.
Like the Game Boy Pocket, oh gosh. Still loading micro, no, because that's. We'll find a name. We'll find it. It's fine. So
we'll figure it out.
Anyway, guys, that is the end of our new. I don't want to say new, but the end of our podcast back.
Our hope you Phoenix. All enjoyed it.
Yeah, our Phoenix, we have risen from the ashes. So hope you all enjoy it, and we will see you next week.
Ho, ho, ho.
So, all right, let's get it.